Welcome to the 1-0 podcast, hosted by Joe Cook and Brad Kellner. The 1-0 podcast is part of the Everyone Gets a Trophy podcast channel. And today, we're recording this one day away. So hopefully when this hits your feed, you're either on the way to Austin on a plane ride in a car with your family or getting ready for the game at 7 p.m. when Texas opens year two of the Steve Sarkisian era. With the Louisiana Monroe Warhawks, not a very strong opponent, but an opponent nonetheless, somebody different for the Longhorns to hit after a month of camp. So, Brad, I know it's been NFL preseason. You know, you just went through a 53-man cut day for the Texans, some big moves being made by the Astros with call-ups and just, you know, continuing their August run now into the stretch of the season. But It's everybody's favorite season. It's Texas Longhorns football season, and it arrives in about, I don't know, 30 hours or so from when we're recording this.
I'm so ready, man. Last night was so much fun watching Purdue and Penn State in a backyard brawl reincarnated. Both of those games were epic. You know, last Saturday, week zero was pretty cool. It was a little taste. It was a little appetizer for college football, but this whole weekend, action all through Monday. And yeah, we've got football every weekend from now until February. So pumped college football is back. So pumped Longhorn football is back. Plenty of reasons for optimism going into year two of the Sark era.
Did you, which game did you watch last night? I was basically pretty much dialed in on the backyard brawl until it ended and then caught the Penn State eking one out at the end.
Oh, come on, man. You know the audio-visual consultation setup I've got. I've got the four screens. I had both of those. I had Oklahoma State giving up a million points to Central Michigan. Man. I had Tennessee beating up on Ball State. We had some Rafael Nadal U.S. Open. We caught everything. But now the two – we've had three P5 versus P5 games in college football this year. And I know Texas ULM is not one of those because Monroe's in the Sun Belt. But three Power 5 versus Power 5 games, they've all been epic. You had the Nebraska-Northwestern one in Dublin, and then you had the two games last night that were down to the final minute. So if that's a taste of what we're in store for in college football in 2022, buckle up because it's going to be a hell of a lot of fun.
Yeah, the Big 12 games were real interesting, especially with – you know, JT Daniels and Keaton Slovis. We'll see if Neil Brown, you know, losing is one thing, being middling is one thing, but then you don't have any natural rivals. And then the first time in years, you go ahead and lose to that natural rival that's 90 miles away. Not looking good for him, but, you know, we'll see what happens after that. The Longhorns take on the ULM Warhawks, not as good of an opponent as last year when they opened with Louisiana Lafayette, the Raging Cajuns. This will probably not be a test of very much of Texas' ability, but it should showcase a lot of different things that we're looking for from the Longhorns.
Yeah, absolutely. This can't be a close game tomorrow, Joe. I mean, it really can't. It's a 38-point line. UL Monroe is not a good football team. They're 0-12 against the Big 12 in their history. Looking at some Phil Steele numbers right now. Since 2016, they're 0-10 against Power 5 opponents, and they've lost those games by 34 points per game. So this should not be close. In a perfect world, Texas gets out to a big lead early. They cruise. We see a lot of things that we want to see, and guys get to rest for the majority, if not all, of the second half in preparation of Bama. So in a perfect world, Texas cruises out to a big lead. Nobody gets hurt. We see good things from Quinn. We see good things for Bijan. The defense shows some signs of life, something to get excited about. And the most important guys get their opportunity to get a little bit of extra rest going into the number one team in the country coming into town. So hopefully that's what we get. That's what Vegas thinks we're going to get. And if we get something less than that, there could be a little bit of cause for concern.
Yeah, I think it's been around 37 and a half, 38. And I've kind of been telling people like, it's probably not a bad idea to take Texas with this game. Like, this is a ULM team that's got a middle of the road head coach and a middle of the road conference with a bunch of guys who probably, I don't know what comparison to make with Rhodes at this point. But they're not very good. Their best player is a guy named Boogie Knight, which is awesome. Their quarterback's half decent for a half decent conference. But other than that, like, this is a tune-up game. I forgot who mentioned it. It was probably either Bobby Burton or Justin Wells earlier today on Inside Texas. They said It's a scrimmage that counts. So what we're trying to see is, you know, obviously we can start here. We'll start with quarterback. This is the first time Quinn Ewers has played in an actual game of football with a lot of implications. You know, first time he's been in a 0-0 game since Westlake played Southlake in Jerry World a couple of years ago. That game he played at Ohio State, you know, that was just some handoffs and garbage time. He hadn't played in any meaningful snaps in a long time, and he has it. You know, there's no plan to split snaps or anything like that. Like, this is going to be his game on Saturday, at least until, you know, the score probably gets out of hand. This is his opportunity to really settle in and kind of get used to what the college game is like before the college game likely bears down on him in a big way next weekend.
Yeah, it's extreme opposites, right? You're going up against one of the worst teams in FBS college football this weekend, and then you're going up against the dynasty that is Alabama, the best team in college football next weekend. So I'm glad the order is the way that it is, right? I'm glad Quinn Ewers gets this sort of tune-up game, as you called it, against a weaker opponent to get his feet wet, to get acclimated to playing in a college football game against another team with a 0-0 score, like you said. I think he threw two total passes last year at Ohio State, and every snap he took was in garbage time in Ohio State beatdown. So this will be a new experience for Quinn Ewers, obviously, at the college level, and you couple that with the fact that he skipped his senior year of high school, too. It's like, it's been a while since he's played meaningful college football. So this is as ideal of an opponent, though, as you could realistically ask for if you're Texas. And hopefully we see some good things from Quinn Ewers tomorrow. Hopefully he's got good command and control of the offense. Hopefully we see some accuracy. Hopefully we see some shots down the field. I mean, there's opportunities there for Texas to have a really, really good offensive day against ULM tomorrow. So I'll try to be glass half full. If it's glass half empty, if it's bad, then you've got reason for concern going against Alabama. Hell, you might have that concern regardless of how good Ewers looks tomorrow. But hopefully against a very, very weak opponent, he and this Texas offense can go off and put up a big number and look good doing it.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, one of the big reasons Quinn Ewers came in and why he's probably the starter is because of his ability to hit the deep ball. I think we all kind of saw those clips rotating around YouTube of all the overthrows or underthrows or missed throws to Xavier Worthy last year. Quinn is here because Steve Sarkisian thinks that he can make those throws that were missed all last year. I have pretty good faith that he can do that. I think that, you know, we saw that when he hit Isaiah Nayor in the spring game. That's what the reports sound like in practice from, you know, the past month or so. But what I'm honestly curious about, what I want to see him do well, is probably going to be my focus on Saturday, is how does he do with the mundane? You know, how does he do when it's just a pretty simple, maybe not a simple RPO, but a one read RPO where he's got to make the right read. And if he sees a linebacker crashing, he's got to throw it. You know, what does he do when it's, you know, there's going to be a third and six? I know ULM is bad, but it's football. That's how the game goes. There's going to be a third and six. What happens when he has to go to read two on third and six to keep a drive going? I want to see, and granted, that's not necessarily mundane, but that's part of, you know, a lot of the finer points of quarterbacking that's outside of the realm of heave it downfield. Yeah. So I want to see what he does there. He's got a lot of help to do it with. I mean, Bijan Robinson's going to be a guy for him to lean on, both with how the offense goes and just, you know, with handing the ball off to him. He'll have reliable guys in Jordan Whittington, Xavier Worthy, maybe even Jatavion Sanders, maybe even Tariq Milton. Excited to see some of those guys. I just want to see, you know, when it's not Xavier Worthy on a deep post or, you know, Jordan Whittington on a go, maybe you want to flip those. But when it's not those routes, I want to see what he does when it's time to hit Jatavion Sanders on read three, you know, 10 yards down the field. If he can start doing that, then that will kind of show that, you know, that's where Steve Sarkisian wanted him to make improvements. He made improvements, and it's an area where Hudson Card struggled a lot last year, in all honesty.
That's very well said. I mean, Texas needs more than one receiving option this year, right? When Jordan Whittington went down with an injury last year, it was Xavier Worthy and really nobody else. So hopefully a couple of those receivers slash tight ends can step up. Love the reports we're hearing about Tavion Sanders. It feels like he's ready to take the step and show some signs of that five-star recruit he was a couple of years ago coming out of the Denton area. But yeah, I agree 100%. Like, everybody says it, and we saw a glimpse of it in the spring game. And if you watched any of Quinn Ewers in high school, you know that dude's got all the arm talent in the world. Like, there's not a ball that he can't throw. But what's it going to look like in an actual game? And yeah, when he does have to go through his progressions and kind of read a defense at this level, how does he fare? How does he do? So I'm with you, man. Like, I want to see a spread attack tomorrow. I really do. I want to see some of the other receivers and tight ends step up. I want to see Ewers going through his reads, making smart decisions. He's going to have some turnovers this year. He's a little bit of a gunslinger, number one. And number two, it's a first-year quarterback who's basically a true freshman going up against Power 5 college opponents. So that's going to happen. But hopefully, for the most part, the decision-making all year long, but especially tomorrow, is really, really good. And some of the intangibles show up, because we know the tangible stuff is absolutely there with Quinn Ewers.
The thing is, it's like, I want to see also what his demeanor is like, you know. In addition to all that, you know, he says he's even keeled. He says that he doesn't, you know, get too high or too low, whether up five touchdowns or down five touchdowns. I don't know if that's the right way to do things. I want to see what happens when, you know, he gets sacked once or twice, because when we talk about the offensive line, we know this guy's going to get sacked. It's going to be a fact of life this year. For Quinn Ewers, I want to see, you know, when he hits a throw, does he go down and celebrate? Does he do something mildly flashy, or does he just, you know, keep running to the sideline, kind of like, you know, Ted Williams back in the day, just running around straight to the bases. So, and straight to the dugout. I'm really curious to see, you know, just how he handles the entire game and all aspects of it, including leading a team. That's what quarterbacks have to do.
Yeah, and that's one thing that Hudson Card wasn't great at last year, right? Like, he just wasn't a very vocal leader. And you don't have to be the loudest guy in the locker room to be a vocal leader. But when you're the quarterback, guys are going to look to you. That's just how it goes. And hopefully Quinn Ewers could show some of that leadership tendencies that we didn't always see from Hudson Card last year. And I do want to see some emotion from him, both positive and negative. And I hope he's able to hold his teammates accountable, right? Like, might be a little bit tougher at first year at UT. First year really playing college football, first year as a starter. There's a lot of experience in the locker room, especially on the offensive side of the football. So maybe there's a little bit of hesitation at the very, very start of the year. But as the season progresses, I want to see Quinn Ewers kind of step up and be that vocal leader and be a guy on the sideline who's getting in his teammates' faces when guys aren't doing what they're supposed to do. And the guy who, when he screws up, takes the blame. He goes up to his offensive lineman and said, "Hey, that's my bad. That sack's not on you. That's on me." Or, "Hey, Xavier, that's a bad throw by me. You ran the right route." Like, I want him to be kind of active on the sideline too, sort of leading on there too, and on the field. And of course, during practice throughout the course of the week. So I'm with you, man. We just did not see enough of that out of Hudson Card. I don't know how much of a factor that necessarily was in this quarterback competition, but I believe that's something that Quinn Ewers has a little bit more of than Hudson Card. The question is, how often do we see it and how early do we see it this year?
Yeah, exactly. And a big aspect of that is going to be the offensive line. And, you know, what it looks like, we're going to have two freshman starters on the offensive line. Kelvin Banks at left tackle, probably the highest rated prospect. We don't need to keep going in on that. And then Cole Hudson, an early enrollee, the only early enrollee from the offensive lineman in the 2022 class, probably going to be playing right guard. We at Inside Texas think the combination is going to go from left to right. It'll be Kelvin Banks, Hayden Connor, Jake Majors, Cole Hudson, Christian Jones. How does that make you feel going into this first game against Louisiana Monroe? That combo with a senior, two true freshmen, a sophomore, and a junior there on the line.
Oh, I feel fine against Louisiana Monroe. I'm terrified going up against Alabama next weekend. I mean, shoot, Texas could have five seniors, and I'd be terrified going up against Will Anderson and Dallas Turner and that defensive front in Tuscaloosa. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm excited. Look, Kelvin Banks, you talked about it. Everyone was pumped when he ended up signing with Texas. That's a huge get. That's a guy that I expect, and I think everybody expects big things from throughout the course of his Texas career. Love the early reports I've heard about Cole Hudson. You know, his junior Angelou was a part of things, obviously. Not that he's super great, but you kind of knew what you were getting with junior Angelou. He's less of a question mark than some of these other guys up front. So you know, hopefully tomorrow it's fine. Hopefully the first team unit can look good. Hopefully the second team guys get some run tomorrow as well. Because, look, you never go through an entire college football season without any injuries up front. So hopefully the other guys get a little bit of run tomorrow against ULM. But, I mean, you know, Joe, anyone who's listened to this podcast knows how much I care about the offensive line play. So, like, everyone's excited about Ewers. Obviously, Bijan's the best running back in the country. Worthy's an All-American. Like, there's skill position talent on this team, but none of that's going to matter a whole hell of a lot if the offensive line can't block anybody. So for Texas to take that step and be a contender in the Big 12, they're going to need better offensive line play this year. So hopefully some of the new guys can do it. Hopefully some of the guys who are returning can take a little bit of a step, and we don't have to be complaining about the big boys as often this year as we did last year.
Yeah, exactly. This is the right, you know, get your feet wet game. It's not like, hey, imagine if this were, I don't know, a couple of years from now or something like that, where they do something in Texas and Texas A&M play in week one and you're throwing out, you know, hey, not only Kelvin Banks, are they're not going to play week one, most likely. It's going to be a conference game. But just for the hypothetical, you know, hey, Kelvin Banks, not only are you going to go ahead and have to play in your first game, but also it's a rivalry game and you're going against a very talented defensive line. Like, it's not that.
Yeah.
It's the best way to get the feet wet and to keep him going. My take with Kelvin Banks is that, you know what? He's probably going to be a pretty good player this year. You know, he is talented as he can be, and he rose through the ranks of the offensive line, that left tackle spot, very quickly as he was here. He's there for a reason. He's really good, but I think at some point we're going to see some freshman mistakes. Maybe you can knock a few of those out now. Who knows? But I'm really excited for that, and I think he's going to be – he'll probably – become more reliable and one of the most reliable linemen as the season goes on. As far as Cole Hudson goes, I'm a little surprised that he was the one that emerged. I think a lot of people thought it would be DJ Campbell. Mm-hmm. And it still could be at a certain point. We'll see how his development goes. Same with Malik Gbagbo and Cam Williams. I have faith in Hayden Connor. I think Jake Majors is there because Junior Ongulau at center was going to be a thing. It unfortunately isn't going to work out because of Ongulau's injury, but you still have a pretty high floor at the position there with Majors there. We'll see what happens with Christian Jones. They've brought him out to the media a lot in the past couple weeks, which, you know, you're not bringing a backup out. He is a lot better at right tackle than left tackle, and he's playing right tackle, but he's got a lot of guys behind him, and I want to see if he's improved on all the different things that we know he struggled with throughout the past 2 years of his career.
Yeah, you don't root against guys on your team, but there's almost like a feeling amongst Longhorn fans that, hey, let's see Cam Williams. When are we going to get to see Cam Williams? Like, everybody knows how big this dude is. Everyone's super excited about him and his future at Texas. It almost feels like guys are expecting Christian Jones to struggle a little bit and Cam Williams to take over at some point this year. So hopefully you're right. I mean, Jones has been here forever, and you're right. I mean, Sark clearly thinks highly of him. He clearly views him as a little bit of a leader up on that offensive line. So it'd be nice for one of the more experienced guys. Like, you're going to have questions about the freshmen. That's how it goes. It'd be nice to have fewer questions about the guys who have started a lot of games at this level, and Christian Jones is one of them. So hopefully he plays well, but man, I mean, Texas has reinforcements. It's scary to rely on true freshmen at any position, but especially one as important as the offensive line. But I don't know if Sark's going to be super slow to make moves if some of the experienced guys can't get it done, because there's clearly potential with the recruiting class that the Horns brought in.
Absolutely, and especially going into the next couple of years, whenever those guys become upperclassmen and then they become, you know, SEC players, that's going to be important coming up. What about other positions you want to jump into over the next, you know, few minutes we got? What about some other positions for tomorrow's game before we go score prediction and lock of the week?
Yeah, look, I feel good about Bijan and Rojo and Keelan. Like, this running back room is going to be solid. They're going to eat tomorrow, which is going to be fun to watch. We talked a little bit about the receivers and tight ends. Want to see some other guys besides Worthy and Whittington step up. Sucks that Nayor isn't going to be a part of things, because everyone was super pumped about him. Are we expecting anything from Troy O'Meary? Like, is he healthy? Is he still on the team? What's the deal with that guy?
I think he's healthy enough to play for sure. So hopefully we see some action with him. And man, that'd be awesome. It's been a long time coming for that guy. Two knee injuries and still working through it. But I think he's third on the depth chart at that X wide receiver position. Maybe You know, yeah, still third probably after Jordan Whittington, who has moved around a bunch. Casey Kane, who's had a good camp after a good spring, and then you have O'Meary. So yeah. I want to see him out there too, and hopefully he provides something.
Now on the defense, man. I mean, like, look, Central Michigan is better than ULM, but I watched Central Michigan put up 44 against Oklahoma State last night. And that Oklahoma State defense last year was one of the best in the country. Now, they lost a ton. They lost their defensive coordinator to Ohio State, so there was reason to believe there'd be a little bit of a step back. And maybe it's even stupid to bring them up. Like, Texas isn't going to give up 44 points tomorrow. If they do, then PK might lose his job on Sunday. But, like, how does the defense look? I think if you asked 100 Longhorn fans, 100 of them would tell you that the weakness of this team is the defense. You know there are a couple of guys that you can rely on, but are we going to get any semblance of a pass rush off the edge tomorrow? If we don't, then forget one of those against Alabama or Oklahoma or some of the other teams that have real offensive lines. Keandre Coburn, Alfred Collins, Moro Ojemo, like, are those guys going to step up a little bit this year? It's money-making time for a lot of those cats. We had Justin Wells on the show in Houston a couple of days ago, and he's like, it's a contract year for a lot of those dudes on defense, Deshaun Jameson included. So, like, they can't – God, if they look bad tomorrow, Joe, it's going to be a serious problem. If they look bad against something called Chandler Rogers and Boogie Knight, who is Mark Wahlberg and Burt Reynolds' favorite player, it's going to be an issue. It's going to be a big issue. So I'm just focused. I know it's not a position. It's the entire defense. But, man, like, I don't want to be leaving the ULM game with serious panic about what PK's defense is going to be in year two.
That'd be awful, because if that's the case, then – we're talking about a defense that's probably going to give up 40 points to Alabama. And it still might. It still might give up 40 points to Alabama at some point. But if they're giving up what Okie State gave up to Central Michigan, who's not bad, they're not a bad G5 team, and they'll probably compete for the top of the MAC, I feel like, this year. But 44 points, and from that defense, you know, 1 year after what they turned in, like, awesome for Spencer Sanders, but man, that's got to be concerning if you're in Stillwater. I hope we don't see anything like that tomorrow. I doubt we will. I really do. But yeah, I want to see pass rush. I really want to see how DeMarvin Overshown is utilized. They talk a lot about him being used on the edge this year. Some of that has to do with DeMonte Tucker Dorsey, and a lot of that has to do with Jalen Ford. But it's, you know, he's never played the edge full time. You know, is he going to be able to do that very well? Going to be interesting to see if that holds up, and if that's the case, and how it keeps going throughout the course of the season, and if he can hold up. He's not held up throughout the whole course of a 12-game season all too much in his career. Yeah. Really interested to see if he's able to do that. And tomorrow's going to be a good first test to see if that's the case.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Tucker Dorsey. Like, I'll be watching him. Rave reviews out of camp. You guys at Inside Texas have been all over it. I'm looking forward to him, and also Ryan Watts, just the newcomers, like, new life into this program. Not freshmen. Like, I'm excited about some of the freshmen too, but I trust transfers. I trust guys who have played college ball more than I trust first-year players at this level. So, and Ryan Watts, what, going to be a starter at corner? Yep. Sark didn't tell us that, which I don't know if we want to get into that. I think it's freaking ridiculous that Sark did that, but, you know, that's a different conversation maybe. But, yeah, what does he look like? Is Tucker Dorsey as good as he's been in camp? Like, he might look awesome tomorrow, but when we get to good teams, does his level of talent, maybe his lack of size and pure athleticism, does that become a factor? Or can he ball out this year, maybe be like a Gary Johnson type, in terms of transferred linebackers that have made an impact here? So the newcomers, once again, not really a position. I guess I'm evading your question as much as I possibly can. But some of the newcomers, I want to see how they look in burnt orange for the first time.
Yeah, definitely. You know, Ryan Watts, even a little bit of, you know, maybe some of the guys at safety, like BJ Allen, get some chances, or, you know, moving back to the trenches, Justice Finkley. I'm most curious to see, though, a second year guy in Byron Murphy. I think he can really be one of the more dominant players on this defense, and I want to see how he's utilized. He played pretty dang well last year, probably utilized in the wrong way. Do they utilize him in the right way, and is he still just as effective? I'm really excited to see that and see what he does there. What's the biggest concern you have tomorrow? I guess, you know, we've kind of talked about strengths, weaknesses, but not really concerns. What's your biggest concern?
It's the pass rush. I mean, I don't think it's going to be much of a factor, like in the outcome of the game. I think Texas will be fine with that one, but I've got to see something. I've got to see some pressure on Chandler Rogers and ULM. Like, if Texas's defensive line is getting, they're not going to get manhandled, but if they're losing often against the ULM offensive line, then I'm going to give up on any hope of this team making a conference championship. I know guys can get better over the course of a year. I get that, but these dudes are way too experienced and way too talented to be getting punked even a little bit by a team like ULM. So that's my biggest concern. It's like, we're going to leave tomorrow still having a big question mark about the pass rush. And with Bryce Young coming to town, you give that dude time, it's game over. Forget 40. They'll put up 60 against you next weekend.
I'll say, I don't know if Bama's wide receivers are as strong this year, but it may not matter against Texas DBs. My biggest concern, kicking. We got a brand new kicker. We don't know who it is yet. We got a brand new punter. We know who it is. And we have a brand new long snapper that we know who it is. But those are all guys, save for Burt Auburn, who had a handful of garbage time kicks last year. Those are all guys making their first career appearances. Like that, when you have Cameron Dicker, who is an excellent punter, and a pretty darn good college kicker and a great kickoff guy, that helps games. You know, that probably helped the defense a lot more than we want to consider last year. And it probably helped Texas probably had a win, you know, maybe at TCU, the game in the margin, they had that win because they got some help from Cameron Dicker at certain points. I want to see how, you know, whether it's Will Stone, whether it's Burt Auburn, how they handle it. I want to kind of want to see who's holding. Seems like it'll be Isaac Pearson. I just want to see how all these guys handle it, because those are things that often determine the outcome of games. Tom Herman probably isn't Texas head coach anymore because he couldn't decide when to use a field goal kicker, and he didn't have him hit the field goals when he needed to at certain points. So I'm really wanting to watch that. What about your score prediction? You ready to drop the numbers you think are going to happen
for tomorrow?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I'll go. I'm feeling good about it. I'll go 56 to 13. Good guys. So the Longhorns cover the number, and we see a lot of the things that we've been talking about on this podcast that we want to see.
I'm going 58-14, and I had to think for a second how to get to that 58. So hopefully there's a it'd be what, 6-8 times 7 and then a safety. I can live with that. Maybe you go for 2 at a certain point and then you go for 2 again. I don't know, but 58-14, I think they cover. I think it's don't worry about this game. And if we're worrying about it in the second half, then oh boy, we're going to have some interesting things to talk about.
Yeah.
Oh man. Oh man. All right, time to start our favorite tradition back up. The lock of the week. And I already put 10 picks against the spread in. Unfortunately, it looks like I picked Pitt to cover 7.5. It doesn't look like they got it. So no, unfortunately, they did not give me the help that I needed. Just that set, that hook always gets you. But what about you? What do you have for your lock of the week this week?
How about some real quick breaking news? Apparently, the College Football Playoff Board of Managers has approved a 12-team CFP by a unanimous vote. So it's coming. It's coming. We'll save that for a future episode, but there's that. And I guess it won't be breaking when you're listening to this, so that was a huge waste of time. Joe, you know I love Kansas, but whenever Kansas is a favorite in football, I have to bet against them. The Jayhawks, they could be playing a high school team. If they were getting 31.5, I'm taking the high school team. I'm taking Westlake or Lake Travis plus 31.5 any day of the week. They get Tennessee Tech, former super regional opponent for Texas in baseball. The Jayhawks are 31.5 point favorites. They can't. I don't know if they could score 32. So I'm taking Tennessee Tech and Matt Braga, who's probably not their football coach. That would make sense. I'm taking.
He is their baseball coach, though.
That's true. He coaches both sports. But yeah, Tennessee Tech plus 31.5, betting against Kansas, it usually does not do me wrong.
So I'm going to go with U of H. They are a 4-point favorite at UTSA. And I think UTSA is a good team, but they're not the same team they were last year. And I think this has a chance to be one of Houston's really special teams under Dana Holgorsen. All that means is they're winning by a touchdown. And I think that's an easy pick. especially, you know, not too far down the road. There'll be enough Houston fans who head to San Antonio. Maybe not a ton, but there will be enough. And I think that one's easy money when I got it at four. So that's my lock of the week. I feel for your Jayhawks, but hey, Lance Leipold has some job security, so
good for him. He's earned it. I guess when you win two games at Kansas, you get yourself a contract extension. All right, before we get out of here, and hopefully our locks of the week are better this year than they were last year, maybe smart to fade us. So good news if you're a Kansas or a UTSA fan there. We got to give our season predictions, record prediction for the Longhorns. What are you feeling, man? How's this thing going to end up? The Vegas over-under is 8.5, if that helps you at all. What's the record in year two of Sark?
Vegas knows it's going to be 8. I think it's tough to overcome a baked-in loss to Alabama. But if they go 8-4, that's still not a bad showing. That's 9 games. You go 6-3 in the Big 12. Does that sound right? Yeah. You can make Arlington like that, and to bounce off, you know, a really bad Big 12 season and to go 6-3, win most of your games in the Big 12, you'll probably still fall short of Arlington, but you'll have a lot of good storylines coming from it, being like, oh, we're building. We went over 500 in the conference. We're still doing all right. And then, oh, by the way, we have Quinn Ewers next year. Here comes Arch Manning. Oh, by the way, all these offensive linemen are a year older. You do that, you're showing progress. If you don't do that, you drop one to UTSA, maybe you drop an extra one, you go 7-5, you're not showing that same progress. So yeah, it's a 2-game improvement, but you want to see more. So 8-4, I think, is a safe bet. I think it's what they're going to end up doing, and I think it will show progress for Steve Sarkisian's program.
Here's how bad it's gotten as a Texas football fan. I think I'd murder a small child for 8-4, Joe. I really do. I'm going to go 7-5, and I'm closer to 6-6 than 8-4, to be honest with you. Needless to say, I hope I'm wrong. As a Texas grad and Texas fan, I'm scared. I got so much PTSD from this football team that until I see it, I'm going to be very skeptical. I mean, they're going to be favored in 10 games this year, maybe 11. So they should do much better than that, clearly. But I can't buy in until I see it. So I'm going 7-5, and maybe the seat's a little bit warm for Sark going into year three.
That would definitely heat it up a little bit. But, you know my take on spinning the wheels. You can't get out of the mud if you just keep changing your, you know, keep spinning the wheels and hoping the same thing happens over and over. So,
Joe. Use your voice to talk to them and make sure they know that.
I'll give it a try. But, all right, games are here. I'm ready. I'm going to be watching even more football tonight. And then Saturday, and then Sunday, and then Monday. So I am excited, Brad. I know you're excited. And then you got a lot of football in your future coming up, it seems like.
I do. I also have a wedding tomorrow. I might kill the bride and groom at their wedding because they're making me miss the first Texas game in real time. It sucks. So don't get married during the fall. And if you're the groom listening to this, don't do it. Don't do it. All right, that's going to do it for this week's edition of the 1-0 podcast. We'll be back next week to recap ULM and, of course, to preview the Alabama Crimson Tide, the number one team in the country, coming to town. Appreciate the continued love and support. Make sure you follow Joe on Twitter at JosephCook89. Check out the great work he does over at InsideTexas.com. They're all over recruiting Texas. Everything you need to know, they've got it over at Inside Texas. Follow me on Twitter at Brad Kellner. Listen to The Wheelhouse every afternoon from 3 to 7. On ESPN975.com. Until next time, for Joe Cook, I'm BK Brad Kellner. Y'all stay safe. Y'all stay healthy. And hook 'em.